our scripture reading this morning, as well as the passage for our sermon, comes from Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. Luke 7, 11 through 17. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. This is God's word, and may he be praised today. How many moms have already received your Mother's Day gift? Any moms out there already received their Mother's Day gift? Okay, got a few. My wife called me yesterday and said, "If you haven't gotten me a Mother's Day gift, I just found mine." I don't know if that happens in your family or not, but sometimes we do our own shopping for ourselves and we say, "Here you go, you can give this to me on when it's the appropriate day." What's the greatest gift that you've ever been given? What's the greatest Mother's Day gift that you mothers have ever been given? Children, right? Children. Can you imagine a very special day would be perhaps a young mother who was able to give birth on Mother's Day? That would be an incredible Mother's Day gift, wouldn't it? I think what we have in our passage of Scripture this morning is probably the greatest Mother's Day gift ever given, in Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. Now, it doesn't start that way, does it? In fact, it starts out very much the opposite way, because the opening picture, the opening scene, is a grieving mother. A grieving mother. Jesus is traveling with his disciples, and there's a large crowd going along with him because Jesus has been teaching and doing miracles up in Capernaum. And now Jesus is continuing his ministry, going from town to town. And he has showed up on the outskirts of a town called Nain, which is about 25 miles south of Capernaum. Still in Galilee, in fact, really just a few miles from his hometown of Nazareth, where Jesus grew up. And as he's approaching the town, coming out of the town is a funeral procession. Now, not one like we normally see with maybe a police car and a hearse and all the cars lining the road and driving down, but it was an ancient funeral procession on foot, walking. And it was the custom, it was the practice that the dead would be buried out of town. And so they would have burial places, grave sites, where they would go outside of the town gates. And they would go along with their family and their friends and those who were mourning and comforting them. And so there's this big funeral procession on foot, and they're carrying this young man who had died. And they're carrying him by hand, probably on, in ancient times, not a closed coffin, but probably more like an open, almost like a cot or a board, in which, and on top, the dead man would have been wrapped in cloths, prepared for burial. This is the sight that Jesus encounters when he approaches Nain. And he sees the grieving mother. And what is interesting about this particular story in the Gospels is that a lot of times when we see Jesus doing a miracle in the Gospels, Jesus has been invited to do that. People come and approach Jesus. And they fall down at his feet and they say, please, if you are willing, you can make me whole. Or please come and you can heal my child. This time is different. No one comes up to Jesus. No one seeks him out. Instead, Jesus looks himself and he sees the situation. And what he sees is a grieving mother who is destitute, who has nothing. Because the text makes very clear her situation. It says that she was the mother of this only son. So this was her only son. And on top of that, she was a widow. In other words, in the terms of the ancient world, she had lost all of her source of livelihood, all of her source of protection, all of her source of income. She was destitute. She was without someone to provide for her. Her husband had died, and now her son had died. In many ways, she was like Naomi, right, of the Old Testament, bereaved of her husband and her sons, heading back, sorrowful and bitter, back to Bethlehem in the book of Ruth. Here is this mother, and she's crying and she's mourning because she's lost everyone. And they're heading out to bury this young man, and she is grieving. She is in sorrow. And far from being the greatest day ever, it probably started out as the worst day ever. But all that's about to change, right? Isn't it amazing how everything can be turned upside down when Jesus enters the picture? When Jesus begins to do his work, he can take what is upside down and he can set it upright, can't he? And so Jesus is, in this story, he is the compassionate Lord. And so we have a grieving mother, but a compassionate Lord meets her. And instead of him being asked to come and to heal, to come and intervene, Jesus himself sees the situation and his heart is moved with compassion. He sees this woman's situation. He knows, because who he is, the Messiah, the Son of God, that she has nothing. And his heart is moved. One of the strongest terms for emotion is used to communicate Jesus' compassion that he feels for this mother who has lost everything. And he goes up to her and he stops the funeral procession. I just want you to imagine that for a second. Can you imagine somebody today, 2017, seeing a funeral procession driving down the road, and they get out in the middle of the road and stop it? They halt the whole funeral procession, and he motions to the funeral director or the driver of the hearse, come on, get out, open up the back door, pull out the coffin, open it up, get up. Can you imagine that happening? That's essentially what Jesus is doing, except in ancient culture, in their context. He's stopping this funeral procession and he's saying, hold on, wait, stop. And he goes up and he touches this bier, this board that this dead man is being carried on. He touches it. And that also gives us an indication of the extent of his compassion. Because in ancient Israel, to touch a dead body or to touch this bier that he was being carried on, it would make him ceremonial unclean. And so he goes up and he touches this dead man and this bier that he's being carried on. But he is about to transform that which is unclean into that which is clean, isn't he? He's about to transform that which is dead into that which is living. And so Jesus expresses his compassion to her. And he is the Lord. He's the Lord. And in verse 13 refers to him as the Lord. The Lord saw her and his heart went out to her. And he said, don't cry. Why did he say don't cry? Not because he's insensitive. Not because he doesn't care about her suffering. Not because he doesn't understand what she is going through, but because he knows what's about to happen. Don't cry, because your sorrow is going to be turned into joy. Don't cry anymore. And so he goes up and he stops the procession. He touches the bier and he says to the young man, get up. Get up. And so we have a grieving mother. We have a compassionate Lord. And now we have a living son. A living son, resurrected, brought back from the dead. And he gets up. Can you imagine the shock and the amazement of the people that day? Imagine the scenario that I laid out a few moments ago in our terms of a line of cars, a funeral procession being stopped, and we saw someone go over and open up the casket and say, get up. And the man gets up and walks home. That is the kind of power that Jesus displayed as the Messiah, the divine Son of God. And he says, with the power of his voice, wake up and get up. And he sits up. No rigor mortis. He's not cold anymore. He's not stiff anymore. He just sits up upright as if nothing had been wrong. Get up. And the dead man sat up and began to talk. Just like, everything's fine, right? Let's have a conversation. He's alive. And the reason Luke mentions this is because that would give demonstrable proof that he was alive, right? He sits up, but he's also talking. He's conversing with people. He's alive. Jesus brought him back to life, and Jesus gives him back to his mother. That's a great gift on Mother's Day, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be a great gift on Mother's Day? To have a son who was dead, and he was all that you had left in your family. Your husband had already died, and now Jesus shows up and says he's no longer dead. He is now alive. And the language at the end of verse number 15 is very intentional. Because when it says that Jesus gave him back to his mother, it almost word for word duplicates the words that are found in Kings when Elijah hands back the widow her son. After he, through the power of God, brought him back to life. And here is Jesus now displaying incredible power, power like that of Elijah in the Old Testament, which is why the people respond the way that they do. A great prophet has appeared among us. And so Jesus is displaying power like Elijah, but even greater than Elijah. Because you can go back and read that story in Kings, and Elijah, though he was operating through the power of God, he kind of had to go through some hoops to bring that young man back to life. Whereas Jesus, he doesn't have to do any of that. He doesn't have to lay down on the young man and warm him up. Jesus just says, get up. And he gets up. It's like Elijah, except better, because he is the Son of God. He is the one who has power within himself. He's the one who gave power to Elijah to bring that young man back to life. All Jesus has to say is get up, and he gets up. And the woman is handed a living son. It's an incredible gift of love and compassion. And then we see an amazed crowd, right? An amazed crowd, like we would all be. If we had been there and seen that episode, we would all be amazed. The word that is used of the people is literally fear. The people were filled with fear. Now, there are bad kinds of fear and there are good kinds of fear, right? There's the fear of terror, but there's also the fear of awe and wonder. And surely that's the sense in which is meant here. There's the fear of awe and wonder in the sense of being in the presence of someone mighty and amazing and powerful, and you can't help but stand in awe of it. And they worshiped God and they praised God and they said, a great prophet has appeared among us and God has come to help his people. Literally, God has visited his people. Meaning that God is fulfilling his promises to his people Israel. Now, how much these people understood of who Jesus was, it's hard to know. They call him a great prophet. Do they know that he is the Messiah? It's hard to tell from this short reaction, but we know who he is, don't we? We know he is the Messiah. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, as Peter confesses. And the crowd is rightly amazed because of what Jesus has done in the power of God. And the news spread around throughout the country. And so we've seen a grieving mother, but she meets a compassionate Lord who brings back to her a living son, and the crowd is amazed. But now I want us to go back through this story, and I want us to think about it through the lens of a gracious Savior. A gracious Savior. And I want us to see here in this passage not only the power of Jesus to heal physically, not only the power of Jesus to bring back to life physically, but this is most certainly an image, a symbol, a picture of what Jesus does for every single one of us in the gospel. In that we are like that dead young man. And we are without hope. And we need the reviving word of God to meet us where we are. And so Jesus gives that reviving word, and this man sits up. But when we are dead in our trespasses and sins, our hearts need a reviving word, don't they? And Jesus sends his Spirit into our hearts, and the gospel accompanies that Spirit of God, and Jesus revives our hearts, and he makes us alive. And spiritually speaking, we sit up, and we become alive. And we talk. And we should talk about the mighty things that Jesus has done for us. And like these people, we should stand in awe, because something even greater than bringing a body back to life has been done when God takes a depraved sinner and opens their eyes to believe the gospel. That's an even greater miracle. And I would suggest to you that the greatest gift that this mother received that day was not just the physical life of her son being brought back, but it was the fact that she experienced the gracious, merciful power of Jesus. And my hope, I can't say this with dogmatic certainty because I don't know what happened with this woman and her family. But I would like to think that this mother who received her son back to life again, that wasn't her only interaction with Jesus for the rest of her life. I would like to think that that was just the first of many, and the beginning of her faith in Jesus Christ. And I would like to think that this mother and her son received not only the joy of that day and her son receiving the physical life being brought back to his body, but I would like to think that that woman and that son experienced the kind of spiritual resurrection that we're talking about. And that one day, for those of us who are in Christ, we believers gathered here today, one day we might be able to walk up to this woman and walk up to her son in the new heavens and the new earth and go up and walk up to him and see them. And see the ones that this story is written about. Maybe hear that story from their own words. And see the work of Jesus, not only physically, but the work of Jesus spiritually that will last eternally, right? And the reason I suggest that the work that Jesus did in their lives spiritually and the work that Jesus does in our lives spiritually is a better gift than even her son being brought back to life physically is because the spiritual work that Jesus does for us is eternal, isn't it? It's eternal. This resurrection of this young man, this took place before the resurrection of Jesus. This was not the final resurrection. And so inevitably what happened to this young man is he eventually died again, didn't he? On this day, he was brought back to life, and it was a great gift of compassion and love to this mother. And I would like to think that maybe this young man lived out his days and provided for his mother, and his mother died before he did. And that he was able then to bury his mother, and then later on he died, but he physically died, didn't he? Again. But the work that Jesus does in our hearts, the work that Jesus does through the gospel, when we believe in him, that is life that endures forever, doesn't it? And that's the greater gift. And so I would suggest that the greatest gift that any mother could ever be given is the spiritual life that Jesus can bring to her and to her family. And so my prayer is that every mother in this room today is a believer in Christ and has received this gift of spiritual life. And my prayer today is that everyone that is here gathered in this room to worship with your mothers today, and as this congregation, that everyone in here has received this gift of spiritual life from Jesus. Because that's the greatest gift that any of us could ever receive. And so may God be praised as he brings life to those who are dead. Let's bow in prayer together. Our Father, we thank you. We praise you because you are gracious. You are compassionate. You are loving. And you set your eyes of love and compassion on this woman and on her family, and you brought her son back to life again. What a great gift that is, Father. And it reminds us, Lord, of the great gift of love that you've given to us, in that when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, you made us alive in Christ. By grace, we are saved. And so, Lord, today we just want to praise and to celebrate your goodness, your love, and your grace to us towards sinners. And Lord, we ask that if there's anyone here today that does not know your Son, the Savior, the Lord, who brings life, that they might come to know him today. And we pray this through him. Amen.